circumstances from guilty, law and justice blind. The history of my chicken of you once man. So everywhere I look I find.
Listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. We are broadcasting live from the basement of Carruthers Hall at Queen's University in Kingston, Ontario. And this is CFRC Prison Radio, a weekly broadcast covering prison issues and prisoner perspectives. And this is our special end of the month Calls from Home episode, in which we take your requests and for your loved ones and friends inside, and we play it on the air. How are you doing tonight?
Great, yeah. We do our best to get those things out to people. So, so we broadcast to pretty much all the institutions in the Kingston area, at Collins Bay, Joyceville, Bath, and Millhaven, and in New York at, across the water to the Cape Vincent Correctional Facility. And we're here at the end of every month to do that. So if you want to get a hold of us while we're here, 613-533-2372. That's 613-533-CFRC. When we're off the air is a great way to get a hold of us. You can also write to us at Rise Up.
CFRC Prison Radio at riseup.net.
Yep, that's the email address.
Find us online, including most of our shows archived at cfrcprisonradio.wordpress.com.
You can ask to join our Facebook group, Calls from Home, on Facebook, and we can get messages and requests that way. And you can also phone the office line, 613-533-2121, and we'll get those messages to us. How can they write to us?
You can write us at CFRC Prison Radio, care of CFRC, Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Kilo 7 Lima, 3 November 6. And we like letters.
Yes.
Send us some letters.
We've had a few really great ones.
And we'll write you back.
Do our best. And then we also have a new phone number to get a hold of us. And I can never remember the details off the top of my head.
I believe it is 613-329-2693. We just upgraded to a smartphone, actually.
Ooh.
I know. So we're rolling in the 21st century. And that's where you can leave a message for Calls from Home or a news tip for any show. Or get in touch with us more generally. If you want to add, if you're listening from inside and you want to add that number to your PIN, the name is Alex Jackson for that.
And that's a great way to get a hold of us because we have got rid of our toll-free number. But again, 613-533-2372 while we're here in the studio, off mic, when we're listening to some music, you can always phone us. We would love anything from you tonight, especially poems, music. And we have some music and stuff we've set aside to going out to everybody listening because we know you're out there. Even if sometimes our signal isn't as strong as it could be or you don't have Cogeco cable anymore, so... we'll keep trying to do our best to get out to you. And we do have some news updates we'll start with. They're not summarized in the normal intelligent way that we do it. So we're going to read some stories to you that are online stories, I believe. So they may not even be out there in newsprint at this point, which I know is the main way to do it. So the first story we got here is by Kathleen Harris from the CBC News. This is updated as of April 25th, 2017. And it's I know it's one that Teresa on Gender Talk has been speaking about a little bit. So that's one of our shows about transgender issues, because the story is called Transgender Inmate Hopes to Make History with Transfer to Women's Prison. After nearly two decades of taunts, threats, and physical abuse behind bars, Falon Abi hopes to become Canada's first federal inmate to be placed in a prison based on gender identity rather than genitalia. That opens this story from the CBC. Aubrey, who's serving a life sentence at BC's Mission Institution, has applied for a transfer to a women's penitentiary under a new policy prompted by Prime Minister Justin Trudeau earlier this year. And to quote Aubrey, who talked to the CBC News about this in a telephone interview, it's an opportunity to make some history, I suppose, but it's more so other transgenders can have their needs met, and that's my goal. It will be the first one in Canada who goes from a prison for men to a prison for women. Fallon, whose birth name is John Paul, was convicted of first-degree murder in 2003 in a street gang killing case, and was brought into custody at the federal prison in Prince Albert, the Saskatchewan penitentiary. Fallon said she was held in segregation for 6 months after advising officials she was a transgender in conditions that made her feel like a junkyard dog. That's a quote from the story. And since then, it's been an uphill battle for single-cell privacy and other basics like women's clothing and toiletries, Fallon said. Discrimination has continued unabated, and sadly, those that assess whether discrimination has occurred are not trained in the needs of transgender people, she said. Facing insults and derogatory names, Aubrey said she was threatened with being thrown over a balcony, set on fire, or stabbed to death if she didn't end her own life. And then goes on to say, as quoted in this CBC interview, it's horrifying to be told to go kill yourself because you're different. And over the years, as they talk a little bit about Fallon's biography, she's carved out a niche working as a prisoner's legal rights advocate, helping on parole bids and fighting for better quality prison food. The role afforded her some protection from peers because she provided a valued service. Other transgender inmates suffer in silence and hide their identity in fear of repercussions, she said. Now, Canada's previous policy on this was to not treat this as an issue, basically, and to continue to segregate people based on their birth identity or what was decided. And we actually had a correspondent a few years ago from Joyceville, Zara, and I hope you're out there. If you're listening, Zara, you're doing all right, who was seeking transfer as well to a female institution because she was in Joyceville, which is a men's only institution. So they reversed course in January and adopted apparently an interim policy for transgender inmates in January, one day after Prime Minister Justin Trudeau promised to promote equality for all transgender Canadians, including those behind bars. I believe that meeting, that was, anyway, we'll go into that. This was at a town hall meeting in Kingston, Ontario, where our very own Teresa from Gender Talk spoke to him on some of these issues, and it was an off-the-cuff pledge that left Correctional Service Canada kind of scrambling to meet this new obligation and setting it to a case-by-case basis, replacing the strict long-standing rule that based placement on genitalia rather than gender identity and considered transfers only after sex reassignment surgery. And the Correctional Service is conducting a broader review, so it says, and they quote in the CBC article, Lori Helpfer, the Correctional Service of Canada is committed to ensuring that inmates who identify as transgender are given the same protection, dignity, and treatment as others. And they also quote Jennifer Metcalf, a lawyer with the West Coast Prison Justice Society, calling it an important development. And they quote, Metcalf is saying it allows transgender women to live in women's prisons, which is key to being treated equally as women and is so important for their personal safety and dignity. And the general hope is that this will be turned into some kind of longstanding policy. So a longer story. I don't think I'm going to read all of it here. But the story is called Transgender Inmate Hopes Make History with Transfer to Women's Prison. That was April 25th, 2017. CBC News Online, Kathleen Harris wrote that, so we thought we would get it out there just so that those who don't have access to the internet listening will have heard this story firsthand, or as firsthand as you're going to get, short of having Kathleen Harris read it to you.
And we have another story here from the Canadian Press about the inquest into the death of prisoner Kinu James to go ahead after a one-year delay. A public inquest into the death of an inmate at the Saskatoon Regional Psychiatric Center is to go ahead next month after a lengthy delay. An examination of what happened to Kinu James was to have been held last April, but was postponed indefinitely when new documents surfaced. James, who was 35, died in her cell in January 2013 after an apparent heart attack. Inmates alleged that she was denied timely medical assistance. One report said James, who is diabetic, activated the emergency call in her cell and told correction staff that she was feeling sick and lethargic the night that she died, which, as an offhand, sounds very similar to some of the same issues that led to Prisoners' Justice Day in the 1970s. James was serving an aggregate sentence of 15 years for manslaughter, assault, uttering threats, and other charges, most of which happened after she was sent to jail. Canadian Association of Elizabeth Fry Societies has said it hopes the inquest will lead to better care for Indigenous women with mental health issues who are serving time in prison. Last April, on the first day of the inquest, lawyers for the association and James's mother argued that disclosure documents provided by the Correctional Service Canada, which covered the year leading up to James's death, weren't enough. They presented a package made up largely of correctional service documents the Society obtained while fighting for James's release in 2011. Containing almost 8,000 files, some of the documents dated back to 1998. Association lawyer Jillian Goh said it was important to look at how various factors in James's incarceration may have contributed to her death. Goh pointed out that James was transferred between facilities some 30 times and had been in and out of the Saskatoon Center 13 times over the years. Inquest coroner Timothy Hariluk said he wasn't comfortable ruling on a request to expand the scope of the inquest until he'd had time to review the new documents. So this is when it was postponed almost a year ago. The rescheduled inquest is to be held May 8th to 12th and May 15th to 19th in the Saskatoon Court of Queen's Bench.
Well, there we go. All right. Some hopeful and not so hopeful stories. But, mm-hmm. Should we listen to some music, maybe, as this is one of the things we're all about? We've got some, well, you put this up here. We got some propaganda, which are kind of a nice thing to always play here.
Good band.
Yeah.
Canadian band. So we got to play some CanCon and hockey playoffs. And this is their hockey song, which is critical of Don Cherry, a local anti-hero.
Yes, one of my favorite moments watching a band from Moncton that I saw in the summertime was to say, three of my friends were arrested in a Don Cherry's restaurant thing, and I'll never forgive him for that. And considering the non-controversy over his ludicrous jacket from the last couple of days, let's get something with a little more substance here on Calls from Home. Again, we're here in the studio, so if you want to make a request directly from an institution, or if you have a family member behind bars or a loved one and you're in Kingston and you want to get a message or a song out, 533-2372 is the best way to get a hold of us.
And I'd just like to give a warning that this may contain some explicit language, so tune out for the next 5 minutes if you don't want to hear that.
Yes, thank you. That's very necessary. So enjoy Dear Coach's Corner here on CFRC 101.9.
Let's talk hockey.
Well, that's the whole idea behind December the 25th.
Let's talk about some good guys.
Okay.
Let's talk about the troops.
Corner. I'm right. 2017, CFRC Radio celebrates 95 years of creating campus community radio in Kingston, Ontario. Over the last 95 years, CFRC's governance has evolved. Once supervised by Queen's University and later by Queen's Alma Mater Society, since 2014, CFRC has been an independent, self-governing, not-for-profit organization. Its board of directors has representation from Queen's University, the AMS and SGPS, CFRC Radio Club, and the Kingston community. Learn more about CFRC, Canada's longest-running campus and community radio station, at cfrc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CFRC 101.9 FM. This is CFRC Prison Radio. And this is our special Calls from Home episode. So if you do have a request, you can give us a call on the music breaks at 613-533-2372 or 613-533-CFRC. You can get a hold of us also on Twitter. CPR Kingston, I believe, is the handle.
Yep.
And CFRC Prison Radio at riseup.net. And we'll be with you this whole time.
Doing our best to help you out in any way we can. That's our job. We're proud to do it. Well, it's not really a job, but a vocation.
Calling. Right. And we also have an announcement for an event happening on Monday. It is the annual May Day Barbecue and March in Kingston. And that is obviously May 1st, if you know about May Day or International Workers' Day. So this is the event announcement. On May 1st, 1886, 40,000 workers in Chicago and 500,000 across the United States participated in a three-day general strike, demanding an eight-hour workday. A week-long struggle resulted between protesters and police, and ultimately eight protesters were arrested, convicted without evidence, and executed. Their executions are widely regarded as some of the most overt political assassinations of radicals in North America. May 1st has since been marked as International Workers' Day in their honor and is a day to amplify the voices of all people struggling for freedom and a better world. Since 2006, May Day has also been widely marked as a day to protest racist immigration policies in Canada and the United States and demand status for all. Strikes, pickets, and protests take place all over the world on May 1st to honor and celebrate the struggles of workers, immigrants, and poor people. Here in Kingston, for the seventh year in a row, we'll be joining in on the fun. Meet us at 5 p.m. on Monday, May 1st, for a free barbecue in Skeleton Park, also known as McBurney Park, and at 6 p.m. for a spirited march downtown, leaving the park. Come hungry and bring your neighbors, coworkers, classmates, friends, and families. And this year we're doing a special CFRC live broadcast.
Yeah, so at 4 p.m. we're going to be playing some kind of context and background as well as audio pieces and things that put it in the context of other struggles going on right now. And then we're going to go live at 5, give or take, from the park.
And ish.
Yeah, we should have some live musical performances and the voices of people around. And it'll be worth it. It'll be enthusiastic and probably, like most CFRC live events, an interesting listening experience if you can't make it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited that there is sort of this expansive coverage this year. The sort of pre-recorded segments, from what I've heard, sound like they're really good. Some really interesting historical tidbits that I knew nothing about, including one about prison. Do you want to give a sneak preview about that?
Well, there will be some actual proper audio in this. But yeah, in 1933 on May Day, the inmates that were being held at Kingston Pen for rioting there to demand political rights sang the Red Flag and the Internationale, and then a bunch of jazz standards from the time, which were heard from the road and were getting honked at by cars and stuff like that. So it'll be a longer story for when we're on the air.
Yep.
And one of the members of the Fight for 15 group collective here in town will be talking about contemporary struggles. We've been trying to get a missive from the airport workers at Pearson, the maintenance workers, I should say, who have May Day unofficially at Pearson every year, too.
Cool. And then we have performances in the park from 5 to 6.
Yep.
And we have some pretty good, a couple people wrote some original music. And there's going to be some sing-alongs and
from crazy
storytelling.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be really good.
Yeah.
Hopefully the weather holds out.
Yeah, that always puts a damper on barbecues and electronics of any sort.
Yeah.
But it's going to be interesting, fun.
So that's Monday, May 1st from 4 to 6 p.m. on CFRC if you can't make it out. If you can make it out, come out to Skeleton Park at 5 o'clock. There's free food, meat, veggie, gluten-free, whatever, and drinks and performances and speeches. And then at 6 o'clock, we're going to leave the park and march downtown. Rain or shine.
Rain or shine, yeah. So look forward to that, everybody.
Should we play some music now?
Yeah, I was thinking of that. Again, if you want to make a request most immediately here, 613-533-2372. That's 613-533-CFRC if you have one of those phones that still has the letters on the keypad. The song I wanted to play, actually, it's something that was inspired by someone who used to be a volunteer for this many years ago, who introduced me to Shabazz Palaces, who are remixing another musician named Ganja Sufi. It's a song called African Spaceship we're going to hear right now off of a brand new remix album called Mandela Effect. We might have some Johnny Cash coming up and Loretta Lynn later in the season, but for now, this is Ganja Sufi and Shabazz Palaces on CFRC 101.9.
Holograms a full deck, holler when I pull on your set. Spaceship looking like a silver Corvette. Keep the doors prep, the ultraviolet border die. When the space quartet explore the sky, we stay more wet. While y'all stay mortified, we on 33rd like Tony Dorsett with the horse tribe. Of course I came to Africa in a spaceship to glorify the holy holographic at 186,000 miles per second or faster. Blasting the subs as a techie on get a blaster.
We came to Africa on a
prisons, San Quentin and Folsom Prison and the Starkville, Mississippi jail and the El Paso jail. And you wouldn't believe it. One night I got in jail in Starkville, Mississippi for picking flowers. I was walking down the street. I may sing that for you a little bit later on. I was walking down the street. What? Excuse me, I couldn't hear you. I was talking. I was walking down the street and, you know, going to get me some cigarettes or something. About 2 o'clock in the morning after a show, I think it was. Anyway, I reached down and picked a dandelion here and a daisy there as I went along, and this car pulls up. I said, get it the hell in here, boy. What are you doing? I said, I'm just picking flowers. Well, $36 for picking flowers and a night in jail. God damn. You can't hardly win, can you? Damn. No telling what you'd do if you'd pull an apple or something. Well, I'd like to do this song on behalf of all you guys here at San Quentin to kind of get back at whoever you want to out there. In my case, I'd like to get back at the fella down in Starkville, Mississippi that still has my $36. Well, I left my motel room down at the Starkville Motel. The town had gone to sleep and I was feeling fairly well. I strolled along the sidewalk neath the sweet magnolia trees. I was whistling, picking flowers, swaying in the southern breeze. I found myself surrounded. One policeman said, that's him. Come along, wildflower child, don't you know that it's 2 a.m.? They're bound to get you, 'cause they got a curfew. And you go to the Starkville City Jail. Well, they threw me in the car and started driving into town. I said, what the hell did I do? And he said, shut up and sit down. Well, they emptied out my pockets, took my pills and guitar picks. I said, wait, my name is all shut up. Well, I sure was in a fix. The sergeant put me in a cell, then he went home for the night. I said, come back here, you so-and-so. I ain't being treated right. Well, they're bound to get you, 'cause they got a curfew. And you go to the Starkville City Jail. I started pacing back and forth, and now and then I'd yell and kick my $40 shoe against the steel door of my cell. I'd walk a while and kick a while, and all night nobody came. Then I sadly remembered they didn't even take my name. At 8 a.m. they let me out. I said, give me them things of mine. They give me a snare and a guitar pick and a yeller dandelion. They're bound to get you, 'cause they got a curfew. And you go to the Starkville City Jail, and you go to the Starkville City Jail.
All right, that was a little Johnny Cash from the Live at San Quentin record, singing Starkville City Jail. You know, we always get a request during Prisoner's Justice Day, often during Calls from Home, for music by Johnny Cash. So I thought, why not? I've never played Starkville City Jail.
That's a good tune.
That was a great tune.
Yeah.
He is one of the...
I like the storytelling.
And the fact that everyone in that room loves it. Like, it's that's hard to get on a lot of live performances, just how much the person's playing is making everyone happy. Before that, we heard one of my favorite remixes from a Ganja Sufi record that just came out, who's a hip-hop artist and an electronic musician, by Shabazz Palaces. And I played that in part because I like it, but also because one of our old contributors for this show, going back 5 years now, AG, introduced me to Shabazz Palaces and thinks they're like the best. And he's not wrong. So I wanted to play that for everyone out there listening. It's one of the more eccentric takes on Ganja Sufi's kind of like Afro-futurist, like, discussion of America and Canada to his lesser extent. I'm sure he's not really aware of Canada, but that's whatever. This is Calls from Home here on CFRC 101.9. We've done some news. We're playing some music. We have anything else we want to talk about, maybe?
Well, why don't we touch on this situation in Tacoma a little bit?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. It's been, and it's good because it's something that's, one, a really huge deal, but it also has parallels with what's going on in Canada right now, too. I mean, more extreme, maybe.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it really does, because if you don't already know, there's immigrant detainees in Tacoma, Washington, have been on hunger strike at a private detention center run by the GEO Group. They're suspended their hunger strike, I believe it was last week, after GEO agreed to meet some of the demands. And apparently none of the demands were actually met, so they are back on hunger strike. So we have here a report about that, as well as a letter written by some of the hunger strikers that we'd like to share with you.
Let's do it.
So this is the background. So on Sunday, April 23rd, women detained at the Northwest Detention Center ended their hunger strike to call attention to worsening nutrition and sanitation conditions. Their unmet demands included properly cleaned laundry, adequate medical care, reasonable commissary prices, raising the $1 per day prison wage, more nutritional cafeteria food, and contact visits so parents can hug their children. GEO Group representatives promised to improve food to meet basic nutritional standards after the first week on strike. Instead, the food has gotten worse, and GEO has retaliated against hunger strikers. They believe that GEO and ICE, which is the Immigration and Customs Enforcement Agency in the United States, retaliated against hunger strikers by transferring at least four of them to other corrections facilities in Oregon. They announced that 40 men will go on hunger strike today, calling on GEO and ICE to keep their promises. The abysmal conditions point to the ongoing danger that the Northwest Detention Center poses to the public health, safety, and welfare of the individuals involved, as well as the community as a whole. The NWDC, which is located on a Superfund site, is the largest immigrant detention center on the West Coast, caging over 1,500 immigrants while awaiting civil deportation proceedings. And of course, if you're following the news in the U.S. right now, there have been massive roundups of people to be deported. And in Canada, too, really. I mean, the initial saying, I'm going off script here, but the initial tweet by Justin Trudeau that Syrian refugees would be welcome here has really not panned out after a number of people have been crossing the border. Now the government's tone is much more, you don't get a free pass to Canada and don't come here.
Yeah.
Which is something that we need to stand up to.
It's not like Canadian border services have been, and they've been doing dramatic raids, but it's not like they haven't been quiescent in stopping and detaining people.
Yeah. And of course there's the safe third country agreement, which, prevents people from claiming refugee status in Canada if they've already passed the United States. So that's a major legal barrier that people are up against, and just the borders, period. Back to the script here. Immigration and Customs Enforcement contracts with the GEO Group, a multinational private prison corporation, to run the facility. GEO Group also runs the Monopoly Commissary store, which detainees are boycotting, calling on GEO to use its exclusive sale rights at reasonable prices. Hunger strikes have aimed their demands at the federal government and at the private contractor, and are now reaching out to Tacoma City authorities. The Trump administration has staffed the ICE deportation force with openly anti-immigrant officials with links to white supremacist organizations, leaving people detained with little choice but to put their bodies on the line to fight for their basic dignity. At the same time, local governments like the city of Tacoma have the ability to choose their own destiny. City government has some power to change municipal codes to ensure that for-profit detention facilities cannot expand into heavy industrial zones that pose environmental hazards, and that existing facilities comply with environmental and public health requests for monitoring and remediation. All people have a basic human right to health. The most recent hunger strikes, part of a history of hunger strikes and activism that dates back years, and of course we've seen a lot of that here in Ontario, especially up in Lindsay, signals that the Northwest Detention Center does not meet city, county, and state regulations for health and safety. This should be enough for the Tacoma Finance Director to revoke the GEO Group's business license. Supporters have announced a rally before City Council's public hearing on correctional facilities interim regulations. Organizers will also submit petitions with over 500 signatures and over 20 community group co-signatures to City Council, calling on them to act. And should I read some of these statements, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, these are written from, are they? Yeah, I think we should.
Okay, so this is one statement from a hunger striker addressing the GEO Group. I'm writing this statement to let people know my personal opinion about the statement that the president of GEO made. He wrote it only to defend the economic interests of his company and employees. He does not mention the profits that he's making through the daily payment that he's receiving from the federal government for each one of us for every day that we spend here. Although we do not know the exact amount, we know that it is enough to provide us with better food, medical care, and higher pay for the work that the detainees do within the facility. Newly arrived detainees receive used clothes that in most cases causes itching and rashes on the skin. I want to also mention that the prices at the commissary are very high, and because the food we receive is of very poor quality, most of us have to buy food from the commissary. We know that this is also a source of income for them because they take a percentage from all the sales. They also mention that we have enough space, but in reality, we're only allowed to be out in the yard for an hour. This is worse than when we were in prison because there we were allowed to be out in the yard all day long. We had a gym, educational programs, and activities that kept us busy and with less stress. Here, when people have a health issue, they go to see the doctor, and most of the time, they just give us naproxen or ibuprofen and recommend that we drink a lot of water. We have family visits through a small window. If they have the space and personnel, at the very least, we would have the opportunity to have contact visits. Also, most of the jobs, that is, all kinds of work, including kitchen, cleaning, laundry, etc., is done by detainees. And on some occasions, I mean whenever the facility needs painting, polishing, and the floor is cleaned, they ask us in the units whether someone wants to do it. People agree to do the work, spend one or two nights doing the work, and they only receive one cup of soup and a bag of chips. If this is called humane treatment, well, I'm sorry, because I call this inhumane treatment and protecting their own economic interests. They know that if the facility is closed, they will no longer have a little gold mine. And all because they don't want to spend a little more money of the percentage they receive from the budget the government gives them, which incidentally is more than enough to give us better service and human treatment. And that was from Javier Alejandro Macias Campos. He is one of the detainees on hunger strike right now at the Northwest Detention Center in Tacoma, Washington.
That's startling. I mean, not really in some ways. Like, it is, because those conditions, as someone who's a historian of the Canadian prison system, that's the kind of regime that would have been falling out of favor 80 or 90 years ago. But like these things, we don't, it's not like a straight arrow towards justice. Things without changing the, you know, everything else in society, they just kind of stayed the same.
I mean, a lot of that just sounds like straight out of, it's a mix of the complaints I've heard about Toronto South Detention Center and the Stony Mountain Institution in Winnipeg. Like, it's all the same issues that people are facing everywhere.
Poor food, work with no compensation. If they are provided facilities, they're utterly not up to the task of actually helping anybody.
Little or no medical treatment.
Yeah, and it's the, yeah, I guess I think the point I was making with the history is these aren't problems that have gone away. They've been forgotten to a certain more than I think that they've ever gone away. And especially with detention and remand, there seems to be an idea that people awaiting trial or people whose only crime is being in a country where they still, in many cases, because they work, they pay taxes, things like that, are basically treated even worse in some ways, which I know is a complaint that's come out of immigration detention and remand, is that they're not even sentenced properly. There's been no, even the liberal system that's supposed to ensure transparency and due process has utterly failed, and so these people are getting treated even worse, which is anyway, I think that's a off-topic rant, but it's
very on-topic.
But it's the very precepts of the system we live in have failed. Its own claims to impartiality and due process have completely collapsed, and it's just, well, whatever. I mean, remand, who cares? And immigration, well, now I'm petering out.
And I remember actually the GEO group who runs this facility has been lobbying the Canadian government for years to get their foot in the door. I mean, they may already have their foot in the door. I don't actually know if they provide any services at the institutions, but in an outright privatized system, they'd be more than ready to step into that role.
Mm-hmm. And they're kind of the same structure of contracting that that has been going on across Canada. It's like, give a lump sum to somebody and then they're expected to fulfill a service. But really, from everything these hunger strikers have been talking about, the money is clawed out of providing the very, not even the necessity, the bare necessity. They're not even providing the bare necessity. They're providing, I mean, it's a problem with any, even prisons run by states and governments. I mean, I always think the private prison thing is a, you can get a little distracted by talking about it too much and forget that, like, our state and government-run prisons are also have the same problems. But it's particularly egregious in cases like this, where it's very obvious that human suffering has been turned into a... Well, I mean, you talk... You know, I feel that the Shabazz Palaces and Ganja Sufi Song already dealt with that. I mean, we've got other music to get to.
Well, I'm inspired that people have come together and been able to stage this collective action, and that there's so much support seemingly from the outside for it as well.
Yeah.
So we wish you all the best and hope that your demands are met and ultimately you attain your freedom. Let's hit a song.
Yeah.
This has some swearing in it, so next 4 minutes, tune out if you don't want to hear that. This is by Run the Jewels featuring Zach De La Roca from Rage Against the Machine. It's called Close Your Eyes.
If you want to get a hold of us, 533-2372, and we'll answer the phone. Enjoy.
Jewels fast, run them jewels fast, run them, fuck the slow mo.
Fashion slave, you protested to get in a fucking lookbook. Everything I scribbled like the anarchist cookbook.
Look good, posing in the center for the crookbook.
Black on black on black with a ski mask, that is my crook look. How you like my styling, bruh? Ain't nobody smiling, bruh. About to turn this motherfucker up like Rikers Island, bruh. Where my thugs and my cripples and my blooders and my brothers? When you niggas gon' unite and kill the police motherfuckers? Or take over a jail, get them COs hell. The burning of that sofa, goddamn, I love the smell. Blankets and pillow torching, where the fuck the warden? And when you find them, we don't kill them, we just waterboard them. We killing them for freedom, cause they tortured us for boredom. And even if some good was that, fuck it, the Lord will sort them.
We out of order, your honor, you out of order. This whole court is unimportant, you fuckers are walking corpses. I'm a flip wig synonym, living within distortion. I bite into a cyanide molar before you whores win. I'm a New Yorkie and I'm fucked for the jump. I wear my Yankees so tilted, I actually walk with a hunt. Look at Mikey, I think he's Mikey, we are sinners for sons.
Hey, we the type to preach you with a grin and a gun. Come on, come on.
Run them jewels fast, run them jewels fast, run them jewels fast, run them.
A wise man once said,
we all dead, fuck it.
Just spit it disgusting, youngin', and hold your nuts while you gunning. I listened tired of the sentence on my dick last summer. Now I'll never get that phrase off my brain, it's no wonder. I'm here to buy hearts, I got hundreds. Honey, the cheaper the parts, the better buy for the money. I'm training vagina whispering, glistening, waiting for the christening. I know the neighbors can't help but listening. A dirty boy who come down on the side of dissonance. I can't even relax with our sirens off in the distance. Not shitting you, little buddy, this fucking island's a prison. And the only solace I have is an act of conjugal visiting.
My solitary conditions preventing conjugal visits. Domain and missing my missus, they keeping me from my chilling conditions. Create a villain, the villain is giving vision. The vision becomes a vow to seek vengeance on all the vicious liars and politicians, profiteers of the prisons, the forehead engravers, enslavers of men and women, including members of clergy that rule on you through religion.
So strip your kids to the nude and then tell them God will forgive them.
Run them,
hey.
Run them.
It's Taylor on the cut, lifting six on your stitching crew. I'm miles ahead of you, you can sit my bitches through. My battle status is burning mansions from Dallas to Malibu. Check my resume, your residence is residue. Color of a skin job, and my honey dimple back flip for you. You playing God, your eyes socket, she gon' rip it too. We sick of bleeding out a tray, spraying victim you. Done dying, Philip AK dicking you. Eclipse in the bottom, we dipping from Gotham. Yes, eclipsed by the shadows of dark dance in the coffin. I'm a fellow with melanin, suspect of a felony. Rip like rock in my law, feds is checking my melody. Yes, aggressively tested with bomb stretches and penalties. Some cases we're facing the cop, please, when we season a pump. With reason to dump on you global grand dragons. Still piling fast bucks, Afghani toe tagging. Now they tracking me, yeah, we busting back. See, the only thing that closed quicker than our caskets be the factory.
Run them jewels fast, run them jewels fast, run them, run them, run them, run them, run them, run them.
slow-mo.
Fine. So what?
If you are afraid of me on that bus because you think I'm going to murder you, if you are afraid of me sitting next to you on that bus because you are afraid that I'm going to rape you, you are the manifestation of the new racism. Speak of the old racism, which was pre-Dr. Martin Luther King. I didn't speak of the new racism. One of the things you have to understand about racists or about yourself is racists are inherently intellectual cowards. They won't come out and say, I hate niggers because I hate niggers. Story over. What they will do is take pseudo-facts. They will take facts that are not true and use that as an intellectual pyramid to come to a conclusion that is inaccurate.
You should be quiet. America should keep her mouth shut. As much hell as America has raised on the earth. When you have spilled the blood of human beings, has Nigeria dropped an atomic bomb and killed people in Hiroshima and Nagasaki? Have they killed off millions of Native Americans? How dare you put yourself in that position as a moral judge? I think you should keep quiet. Because with that much blood on America's hands, you have no right to speak. I will speak because I don't have that blood on my hands.
Sin of this country is that we invaders shot and murdered our way across the land, killing every Native American who could. This country was founded on genocide. This country was founded on genocide.
If you are afraid of me on that bus because you think I'm going to murder you, you are the manifestation of the new racism.
Yes. You should be quiet when it comes to moral condemnation.
Because of the way he's dressed, the color of his skin, or his hair. Is it his hair?
Yes.
All right. So that was The New Racism by King Pong Dub System.
Tongue Twister.
Yeah. Who have a new record out that... I just had to play for you from Arachnidiscs, one of my favorite Canadian labels. The album's called System Sound Shock, which is also another tongue twister, from a Toronto label called Arachnidiscs, as I mentioned. I'm a big fan of them, and we were talking about how their last album was about Islington West, and they're kind of based in the Etobicoke area and do some really good 80s-style dub music with... some very political things.
I'm shocked.
Yeah, well,
I gotta say,
there's interesting people doing stuff everywhere in Canada.
It's, no doubt. I know. Right? I know that area very well.
Yeah, there's a few surprisingly good bands from Lindsay that I've been listening to. But there's some good stuff coming out of there. Anyway, this is Calls from Home. We're not usually a music show, but Calls from Home. We're playing stuff going out to our listeners and that have become requested. It's been a slower evening than we'd like. We're at the end of it, but if you'd like to get a hold of us for the weeks to come, please, you can write us via email at cfrcprisonradio@riseup.net. We will answer that. You can visit our Facebook page, Calls From Home, on Facebook. Ask to join. You can post things, ask questions, leave comments, especially if you're outside wanting to get a message to a loved one or a family member in prison in the Kingston area. You can certainly phone us at the station, 533-2121, and then our other number that I can never remember.
The number with our voicemail is 613-329-2693.
Yeah.
And did you give the mailing address?
No, I haven't, but I love when you do it.
CFRC Prison Radio, care of CFRC, Lower Carruthers Hall, Queen's University, Kingston, Ontario, Kilo 7 Lima 3 November 6, as in K7L3N6. And if you're even thinking about writing us, you should probably write us, because we will get back to you. If you have a story to share, we'll share it on the radio. And that's what we're all about, is making these connections, sharing these stories. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, take advantage of it.
Yeah, I mean, we've had things, notebooks of poems and lyrics given to us and brought out from Collins Bay, cassettes and things, and recorded music, any of it. We'll do our best to get out there.
We'll share pretty much anything short of white supremacy or something like that.
Really homophobic comments and that kind of stuff.
The usual stuff, though, all good.
Yeah.
All good.
We don't like to censor things either. So, again, I hope no one was troubled by the last couple of songs we played. We're going to switch to something that, again, often comes in. And I know Johnny Woodlock on Sunday's Country Show would probably appreciate this. It's complete reversal from what we've just been hearing. Loretta Lynn, the one and only, with a song from one of her early records that she re-recorded in 2004, Women's Prison. And we'll listen to that to finish off Calls From Home this week. And we'll be back next week, I guess. Well, Stark Raven will be, but we'll be here every Wednesday from 7 to 8. I think something related to Live From Lazy is coming up in the next few minutes, but
you'll have to wait and see to find out. And in 2 weeks, we're hoping to do our show about medicinal herbs that you can get access to in prison for do-it-yourself health stuff. So I'm really looking forward to that. Yeah. Hoping we're going to record that next week. We have a lot of material, so that'd be 2 weeks from now. Listen in for that.
And just keep listening to us in general here at 101.9 on your FM dial. This is CFRC.